If I haven't met you, I'm Brett, pastor here at the church. Glad I can encourage you tonight, Good Friday. We really are going to focus on the cross tonight, and then on the weekend, starting tomorrow, and then Sunday, we'll focus on the cross, but we will get to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's all good news. It's all good news. Especially tonight, the cross is such good news. We call it Good Friday because of what it means for our life. Jesus made seven statements while he was hanging on the cross. Seven statements. Many sermons have been shaped around those seven statements. One of them, maybe you recall, my God, why have you forsaken me? Another one, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is while Jesus is hanging there. To the thief next to him, today you will be with me in paradise. To the apostle John, who was with Mary, Jesus' earthly mother, John, behold your mother. Take care of her. Fifth thing that Jesus said was, I thirst. And the sixth thing I want to talk to you about tonight. The sixth thing. The seventh thing he said, into thy hands I commit my spirit, to his Father. But the sixth thing that Jesus said on the cross for us are the most amazing, profound, joy-producing words you could ever hear in your whole life because of what it means. Jesus said the sixth thing, it is finished. It is finished. So I want to ask the question, what is finished? What is finished? Jesus certainly wasn't finished. He rose the third day, but what he came to do was finished. The plan of God, the redemptive plan of God, which began in the book of Genesis and unfolds through the whole Bible, the love of God for fallen humanity, sinful humanity, humanity separated from him, the whole plan of redemption as it unfolds in Scripture is completed at the cross when Jesus says, it is finished. So we have these words in John chapter 19. John records them. The other Gospels do not. John chapter 19 and verse 30, it says, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he had asked, said he was thirsty, I thirst. After he had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. Now, what does this mean for you and I tonight as we think about the cross, as we meditate on the cross of Jesus Christ? What does this mean for us? It is finished. What is Jesus saying? The good news that he's giving to us from his cross. And I want to suggest four things. I think there are more things you could say about it is finished. I want you to never forget that phrase, though. As long as you live on this earth, Jesus said to you, it is finished. But let me suggest four things. And the first one is that the prophecies about Jesus Christ coming were completed. They included the resurrection, they include the whole weekend, but it's like it's all culminating here. See, the Old Testament prophets writing 600, 700 years before Christ, in some cases 1,500 years. In the case of Moses, the prophets wrote things, prophesied about God's coming Redeemer, the person of Jesus Christ, and they said things about him. Moses said he would be a great prophet. David prophesied in Psalms when he said in Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? David records this. Under the inspiration of the Spirit, prophesies. One of the famous prophecies that comes to fulfillment on the cross, it is finished, is this one. It's Isaiah 53, verse 5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. 700 years before Christ, Isaiah said these words. Is there any doubt about who he's referring to? The Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered in the 1950s, which predate the coming of Christ, and the Dead Sea Scrolls had copies of the prophet Isaiah, this verse included in his prophecy. There's no doubt of who Isaiah is talking about. He's talking about Jesus Christ. Piercing wouldn't have even been known It's not the same piercing you might be thinking about. Jesus was pierced through his hands and his feet, but it wasn't even known in the days of Isaiah. It was the Romans, who would come much later, who invented crucifixion, under which Jesus suffered and died for you and I, but Isaiah prophesies about it. Pierced, and notice who it was for. Jesus suffered, pierced for our transgressions, not his own. He was the sinless Son of God. He was crushed. He was crushed. Why was he crushed? He was crushed for our iniquities. He took upon himself the very judgment that would have otherwise been doled out to us. Jesus Christ took our place on the cross as a substitute. He endured there because of his love for you, because of his love for me. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. It's through Jesus Christ that we have forgiveness, that we have peace with God, that we're reconciled to God. It's through Jesus Christ that we have a new life. It's through Jesus Christ that we come to a deep place of hope and, as he says here, healing. Healing. With his wounds, we are healed. I think we all need healing here tonight. We all need healing. We need healing from shame, discouragement, and despair, and hopelessness that comes along with feeling like we don't measure up and never will measure up. We all have things in our life, secret things, things we've done, mistakes we've made. Every one of us has it. And we need healing, the healing touch of a God who knows the details of your life more than anybody else, knows you intimately, and wants to heal you through his love and his grace and his forgiveness and his mercy. This prophecy is fulfilled in what Jesus did for you on the cross when he finished your salvation in his love for you. Jesus said in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come to me." Stop trying to work it out yourself. You need healing from trying to work it all out yourself, solve it all yourself, make it up to God somehow. Most people don't understand when Jesus said, "It is finished," he meant it. It is finished. You don't have to help him. It's sacrilegious to do so. Receive the grace. Accept the grace. Thank God for the mercy. Praise him for it. Love him always. Offer your body a living sacrifice to him in light of it. But let it be finished. Let it heal you. Let it be done. Don't spend your life trying to make up somehow for what you've done. Some people in this room tonight, and I know I can even struggle this myself, you have a bad week, you get angry at your children, yell at them, maybe you yelled at them on the way here in the car. I'm praying for you. That's a burden, I know. Listen. And you think, I shouldn't even be here tonight. Now maybe if I, you know, have a couple of good days, that'll make up for this guilt I feel and this being out of control. And we think that, boy, a couple of good days and we can make up for our sins. Listen, that's not what "it is finished" means. "It is finished" means you enter into the experience of the grace and mercy of God for healing moment by moment in your life, moment by moment. God's not putting something over you like, "Boy, you better be good this week because you were terrible last week. And if we don't get it right this week, I'm not even going with you the week after." That's not it. But in our humanity, it's just the way we are. We're going to work it out. We got to make it right. We got to get it back. We got to keep God blessing us. We got to do all these kind of, "It is finished," Jesus said. "It is finished." All initiated by God, all instituted by God. Jesus Christ giving his life, bruised, crushed, beaten, bearing upon himself the iniquities, our sins, our mistakes, our regrets, taking it upon himself so that we would be free. That's the love of God. That's the cross. That's the cross you've trusted in, you hope in. makes you free. Makes you free. All the 300 plus prophecies about Jesus Christ fulfilled on that weekend in his death, his burial, his resurrection. My debt of sin was paid for. I love this verse about the cross in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, that is the way of saying you're a non-Jew. You were pagan. You were dead spiritually. The life before you came to know Christ, the life before you were raised from the dead through your relationship to Jesus, this was you. This is who you used to be. God has made you alive from that dead condition together with Jesus, with Him, having forgiven us, what? All our trespasses. If you know Jesus Christ here tonight, you stand, it is finished, you stand in a place of having all of your sins, all of them, past sins, regrets, secrets, mistakes, all of them, past, present, and future, forgiven. How did he do it? You say, this is good news. This is great news. It is. How did he do it? Verse 14 of Colossians 2, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. The law, the legal demands. The law is the expression of the holiness of God as we read it in the Scriptures, the Ten Commandments and other laws. God says, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Don't have any other gods. Don't commit adultery. Don't rip off people. Don't lie. Honor your father and mother. Don't covet other people's stuff or personality or wealth or vacation time. Thou shalt not. That's the law of God. Problem is, when I look at my life and I measure my life, how I'm doing against the holiness of God, the law of God, the demands of God, when I compare myself against it, I fall woefully short. There's a list of things I've done that don't measure up to it. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with your whole heart and soul, mind and strength. Love Him with everything you've got. And then I think about that and I go, we got a problem. Houston, we got a huge problem. I don't love the Lord my God all the time with my whole heart and strength. Too much of the time it's about me. It's about my agenda. It's about what I want and all that. Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord and your neighbors yourself, but we fall woefully short. There's a list, a long rap sheet that every one of us in this room has. That's enough to condemn you. Put you away. It's enough to separate you forever from the presence of God. Your rap sheet, the stuff we know, the secrets that nobody else knows, it's a long one. What did Jesus do with that list? I love this verse. By canceling the record of debt, that's your rap sheet, the record of debt. It's what you owe God. It's where you fall short. Canceling the record of debt that stood how? Against you. With its legal demands, this he set aside. How did he do it? Nailing it to the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ is where the debt was paid. Paid in full. I love the song, Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but Jesus washed it white as snow. Your debt's been paid. It is finished. You don't owe anything to God. You don't owe him anything other than just the life of love and thankfulness, and here I am, God. That's all. Not to earn anything, not to earn favor with God. You don't owe the debt of sin. You're no longer under the condemnation of the law. The law has no power over you because in Jesus Christ, you've kept the law and its demands, and He died to pay for where you've broken it. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live worrying about the judgment of God. So many people I talk to, Christians I talk to, and they think that what's happening to them is because of what they did, and it's the judgment of God on them. That's the lie of the devil himself. He loves to lie to us. He loves to accuse us. He loves to twist and distort the truth so that you're not truly free and you're not joyful. He wants to hold you down, and you live your life in fear, thinking, oh, this is because of what I did. And listen, the debt's been paid. Nailed to the cross, every bit of it. And God knows your rap sheet, and he knows my rap sheet. One writer said that Jesus met all of God's holy conditions so that our relationship with God could be wholly unconditional. The demand maker became a demand keeper and died for me, a demand breaker. You know, it is finished is one Greek word in the New Testament. It's tetelestai. So just one word, we translate it, it is finished. Tetelestai was a Greek word that was used in the first century and placed on bills that had been paid. Now, I don't know exactly what, you know, the researchers, archaeologists have discovered papyrus, you know, what they wrote on, which would have been bills in the first century. And on the bill was tetelestai, a bill for hay or straw or a carpenter's work or whatever the bill was, and it would be marked with tetelestai. So tetelestai, or it is finished, translated here in John 19, means paid in full. That's what it means, paid in full. No debt. No outstanding debt. No calls from the creditors. One writer says, you've been pardoned, not paroled. Pardon. To keep checking in with your parole officer, you might be thrown back in. That's not it. Pardon. Full. Free. At the price that was paid by the Son of God, God incarnate for you and for me. Canceling the record of debt. Debts are all paid in Christ. What good news is this? The devil was defeated. That's the other thing that happened. His defeat was complete. It is finished. He's finished. The devil's finished. He's finished. He's the great accuser. Go back to the opening chapter of the book of Genesis, and what you see is the devil tempting Adam and Eve to sin against God, which he succeeded in doing. And as a result of their sin, death entered the world. Separation from God entered the world. Everything that we know is a problem in the world came to be because of the effects of sin. We are in the loins of Adam, if you will. We're all descendants of Adam and Eve, and we have within us, and we see around us, the effects of sin in this world and death and all. And the devil was at work. The devil, who had fallen from heaven, a high-ranking angel, became prideful, fell from heaven, led a rebellion against God in which a third of the angels fell with him. It's called principalities and powers, the heavenly beings arrayed against you and against everything God has done in creation. It's the backstory that we don't see, but we need to understand and see in Scripture. It's the backstory that the world totally ignores, and it's like, oh my, you know, we're ignoring the main enemy. We don't battle against flesh and blood, the Scripture says, but against principalities and powers in high places in an unseen world. The devil. Some of you say, you know, maybe I never used to believe in the devil, but well, I've seen him just work in my son, my daughter, my family. Oh, God, save him. Save her. Save me. Well, I've got good news for you. Tonight, the devil's work and all that he's arrayed against you to do has been defeated, and he knows it. It is finished were terrifying words in hell. Terrifying words. Words of life to us. Words of hope and assurance to us, but terrifying to the enemies of God, the devil and his angel. He was defeated at the cross. Death was defeated at the cross. And the resurrection is the proof that all this is true. This is from Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. Speaking of what Jesus did on the cross, he disarmed the rulers and authorities. That's referring to demons and their organization against us. He disarmed them, took their power away. They have no power. He disarmed the rulers, put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Christ. And then this verse I love in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verses 10 to 11. John in his vision, the apostle John who wrote John 19 also writes these words in the book of Revelation. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down. That's the devil. He's the slanderer. Diabolos, the slanderer. He's the accuser. That's the devil. John is rejoicing here because the devil has been thrown down. Thrown down. Defeated. Put to shame. The accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by what? The blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. The accuser of the brethren, it's what the devil does. He accuses. He accuses. Every one of you inside of your head can hear him. You can hear him. Because when you sin and when you fail and when you fall short, he speaks to you. And he accuses you. And he blames you. He puts you onto a pile. His goal is to drive you to utter hopelessness and giving up. If he can, he'll take your life by giving you suicidal thoughts, suggesting that you might just run. Just run. Run. He's the enemy of your soul. He's been defeated. You know, I feel it every time I get up here to preach. You're so encouraging to me. All of you are very encouraging to me. And you'll say that was a great message or something like that. Or if it was bad, you don't say anything. I appreciate, you know. So you encourage me both ways. Every week I get up here, I feel accused. I feel accused. Who are you to speak to these people? Look at your life. you did this. You thought that. You imagined that. You were selfish. You just help your wife a little bit. You know, I mean, just she does all the work. Do something. Be more holy. You're not holy. Who are you? I mean, I just get accused. How do you get up and, for you, how do you walk into a day to be used by God when you feel so unworthy of it? How do you start your day fresh when the accuser is driving you so down deep that you're just about ready to quit? You overcome him by the blood of Jesus Christ. You say this, you say, you know, you're right. I can argue with you. You're right. Jesus Christ shed blood on the cross covers all of my inconsistencies, all of my bad motives, all of my choices that are wrong. I know I will, between now and the time Jesus comes again, I will sin, I will make mistakes, but I am covered. I am covered. 1 John says, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. When you walk in the light, you see it, don't you? One of the evidences that you're growing as a Christian is you're more aware of the depth of your sin, the motives of your sin. You're overwhelmed by it. You walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. John goes on and says, if we say we have no sin, we've deceived ourselves, and the truth is not in us. There is no person without sin. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John says, my little children, I write unto you that you may not sin, but if you do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation, not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. The blood of Christ never loses its power. And when the devil accuses you, which he will and he does, and some of you feel it tonight, you just look at this cross. Your sins were paid for. The promise of God was fulfilled. And the devil was defeated. He has no claim on you. He has no grip on you. He has no footing in your life because you have the cross. You have Christ. Your righteousness is because of Christ. Your acceptance with God is because of Christ. Your approval is because of you being in Christ and what Christ did for you. You're in Him. He is in you. All that Jesus is and did has been credited to your account. It is finished, Jesus said. That means for you, in Christ, it is finished. It's done. The devil's done. He roars. He's a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Firm in your faith, James says. Resist him. Firm in your faith. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, which is Christ, that you may stand against the schemes of the devil. A fourth thing, and there's so much we could talk about here tonight. I have peace with God. I have peace with God. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. And again, the Apostle Paul causes us to think about what we were, what Christ did, and what the result is. But what were we? People without hope, without God, without a state or a community, without promises in the world. And what has God done through the cross? But now in Christ Jesus, you once were, who were once far off have been brought near. How? By the blood of Christ. You've been brought near. You've been brought in. When Jesus died on the cross at 3 p.m, it says that the curtain in the temple which separated the holy place, the holy of holies from the outer court was torn in two. Access to God took place at the cross because now what separated me has been removed. The blood of animals cannot take away sin, but the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, does take away sins. I can come boldly into the presence of God, seeking Him, His strength, His mercy, His love. I come boldly into the presence of God by the blood of Christ. I can commune with Him, know Him, talk to Him. I have peace with God. I've been reconciled to God. You've been reconciled to God. There's no more enmity. Now you're a minister of reconciliation. Now you're an ambassador for Christ. As though God were entreating through you, you say to your friends, oh, be reconciled to God. The cross did that. The cross brought you near when you were far away. It is finished. Those three words are the most wonderful words you could possibly hear. People get tattoos with, it is finished. You want to get a tattoo? I suggest that. Some dumb picture you're going to resent and wish you hadn't done in years to come. Some dumb thing. It is finished. Can't go wrong with that. Put it somewhere where you can see it. Be reminded of it. I have peace with God. You know, three times when Jesus met in his resurrection appearances, Jesus, after he rose from the dead, was meeting with people like 7, 8 times. It's all recorded in the New Testament, but 3 times he meets with his disciples. And each time he says this, peace be with you. I love that. After he died on the cross, reconciliation with God was achieved. Being reunited, access to God, Jesus said, peace be with you. My peace I give to you. Peace be with you. God wants you to have peace here tonight. God wants you to have joy here tonight. God wants you to have freedom. And whenever you lack freedom, whenever you lack peace, whenever you have fear, whenever you have guilt and shame, and the enemy gets the upper hand in your mind and convinces you that you're unworthy and you're deserving of nothing but death itself, when you get weighed down by all of it, you remember, it is finished. Through Christ, it is finished. He did for me what I could never do for myself. It is finished. My sins, my rap sheet, past, present, and future mistakes and sins were all nailed to that cross. He canceled the debt that stood between me and God. He canceled it. He wiped it out. He disarmed the rulers and authorities. Satan himself defeated. And I have peace, wonderful peace. Listen, Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about your life. God loves you, cares for you, is with you. You know, some of us, let me speak to you now if you're a Christian and you know a lot of what I've told you. You know a lot of what I've told you, but for some reason, the joy isn't there. Joy isn't there. And maybe you've slipped back under the whole thing of performance. You know, you think, if I don't perform well, God's not going to love me, and I haven't been performing well. And you're a Christian. I haven't been doing it well, and I just... And then some of you, you remember the time when you became a Christian and you came to the cross of Jesus and you laid your burden down and you knew you were doing it. God was forgiving you and washing you, cleansing you. You remember the day you put your faith in Christ alone and you felt, I'm saved. And the joy of that. And as you've gone on, you've forgotten, you've taken back up the mantle of legalism and performance, and you've lost that joy. I want you to come back now. Come back. It is finished. Carrying the burden of sin. Let me speak to you if you're not yet a Christian here tonight. You just haven't come to Christ yet. The weight of sin, the weight of regret, the weight of failure, the power of secrets, all of that stuff you're carrying with nowhere to put it, no way to deal with it. No wonder people drink. No wonder people do drugs. No wonder people go crazy. For this burden of my life, and what do I do? Listen, listen, I want you to take all of that. I want you to come right here and recognize that Jesus paid it all. There isn't anybody in this room that is without sin. We're all there with you. The only difference between somebody who is a Christian and somebody isn't is that a Christian is somebody who's come and experienced this great grace of God. If you're not a Christian, would you come to Christ tonight? Let's leave it at the cross. Scripture says that we're buried with Christ. We're buried with Him. The death that He died, we share in when we come to Christ. What does it mean you're buried with Christ? It means that the old life is buried with Him. It means your sins were buried with Him. When Christ went into the ground dead, your old self went with Him. Don't dig it up. We want to dig it up and wear the raiment of the old man, the old nature. Leave it dead. It's dead. You're a new person in Christ. You've been raised with Christ. You're seated with Christ in heavenly places. You're an heir with Christ. Oh, what great rejoicing this is. It is finished, all of it, for you, the love of God. I like what Tully and Tevigen says in his book, One Way Love. We need to be told over and over that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that nothing can separate us from God's love, and that Christians live their lives under a banner that reads, it is finished. I want you to pray with me now. you to just look at your rap sheet for a minute in your mind. And then I want you to see on that rap sheet, and we all have one, don't we? See that rap sheet in your mind. I want you to see in blood written across your rap sheet, tetelestai, translated, it is finished, paid in full. Now in your mind, I just want you to tear that thing up. I want you to burn it. I want you to bury it with Christ and leave it there. And if you're not a Christian here tonight, or at least you, maybe this is all new, you're like, wow, didn't know that's what Good Friday was. I didn't know that's what the Easter weekend was about. If that's you and you've been carrying around this load, this burden, Jesus says to you, come to me and I'll give you rest. Come to me, all you who are weary, heavy laden. If that's you, just in your mind, I want you to see the cross. I want you to see your baggage and your regrets. And I want you to see yourself just dropping them off at the foot of the cross, receiving the grace and mercy of God and walking away free. Oh God, we thank you tonight. It's because of what you did on the cross. It is finished that we can pray and come to you and have a relationship with you and know that you know all about us and we receive mercy from you. Thank you for this great privilege tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.